Good morning. As was already announced, we do have a wonderful crowd this morning that hopefully we can study God's Word together and gain something from the lesson that we might go over this morning. We're going to talk for just a while this morning about the topic, a slippery slope. Appreciate the verses of Scripture being read for us in Romans chapter 1, and as most of you who've been around me very much know that I have love-hate is the wrong word, but I really enjoy these verses and the study of these verses in relationship with evolution. Now, the subject is not going to be about evolution today, but really when you look at the bare bones of what Romans chapter 1 is talking about, when it talks about them worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator, that has evolution written all over it. And so I really enjoy looking at these verses and talking about these verses and studying these verses. But as you do that over time, typically you start to bring out, you know, other things that maybe you hadn't thought of before. And so I just want to take these verses this morning and talk about this idea of falling down a slippery slope. And certainly evolution can be what lies at the bottom of that slope. But I just want to talk about it for just a while this morning. Have you ever fallen down a hill? Now, I'm not a city person. I'm not a city boy. I am very much a country boy. We lived on about 98-acre farm when I grew up, and so I swung on grapevines up until the time that they stopped holding me very well. We had natural streams running through our property, and so I didn't have, you know, maybe a slip and slide like some of you did, but when you're headed downhill into a spring, into a stream of some sort, you can slide just as well on those as you can on one of those slip and slides. But have you ever started down a path that you just can't seem to get stopped? Right? You start down that hill and you start rolling down that hill, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a point where you want to stop, but at that point you can't. You're already too far down the hill and you're already too far gone and you can't get your footing, you can't get your traction. And I think there are times when we do this spiritually as well, where we look up and we realize, I need to stop, but I can't. I'm already too far down this path. I'm too far along this path, and I feel like I can't stop. And I think Romans chapter 1 gives us an example of that. These folks had slipped down this slope and were unable to get stopped. They had slipped religiously, if you look in verses 24 and 25. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their heart, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And so religiously, these people started down this path where they had slipped and they had hit this point. We find in verses 26 and 27 that morally, they had slipped and hit rock bottom. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of a woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving their own persons the due penalty of their error. And then intellectually, they had slipped and fallen from God's grace. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And if you look down through that list, we're really not that far off from the world that we live in today. Because all of those things seem to hold true. Now, again, the idol worship may be in a different form, but it's still idol worship. So what happened to these folks? What happens if we make those same mistakes? So I want to see if we can apply some things this morning to maybe keep ourselves from sliding down this slippery slope, or if we're on that slope, to see if we can somehow get it stopped. I want you to understand this morning that these folks had slipped from the knowledge of God. In verse 21 of the context in Romans chapter 1, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. We find in these verses that they glorified Him not as God, but they knew Him. It says in those verses, they knew God, but they refused to glorify Him as God. So they had the knowledge was available to them, they just didn't use it. What happens if we don't use the knowledge that we once had? What's interesting is as Braden continues to move forward in his schooling, the math gets harder and harder and harder, right? I had calculus when I was in high school and did pretty well with it. I can't do it now. I had it at one point, but I stopped using it long, long ago, and I can no longer do it. That knowledge is now gone. I had it at one point in time, but because I didn't use it, I let it slip. I no longer have that knowledge. And so when we find these folks knowing God, but yet not glorifying Him as God, what's going to happen to that knowledge? It's going to slip. They're going to come to a point where they don't even know God anymore. They have it available to them, but they're not using it properly. Proverbs speaks a lot about wisdom and a lot about knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 7, he tells us that the beginning of knowledge is fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever come across someone, and maybe teachers would probably in volume come across more of these type of people than any of the rest of us, but have you ever come across a child or a person who you just can't tell anything to, you can't teach them anything because they already think they know everything? Especially those of you who may teach teenagers. Right? They already know everything. So it's hard to teach somebody that knows everything. It's hard to teach them something. Right? Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, a fool despises instruction. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to do it. Because I already know. That's a type of person that despises instruction. And God calls that person a fool for being that way. We can all learn something from other people. In Proverbs 2 and verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. If we're going to have knowledge and we're going to have understanding, where's it going to come from? He said all of that comes from God's mouth. So if you want to have true knowledge, if you want to have true understanding, then you're going to get that from God's Word. Might you gain some earthly knowledge, worldly knowledge from other sources? Sure. But true knowledge, true understanding is going to come from the mouth of God. How often do we spend reading that knowledge, gaining that wisdom, gaining that understanding in God's Word? It's there for us to have, but are we like these people that have slipped from knowledge because we refuse to be able to be taught? Well, you're not going to tell me anything about God's Word because I already know it. And we shut our Bibles and put them off to the side and say, I already know everything about God's Word. And so you're not going to teach me anything about God's Word. Because I know everything already. How long is it going to take that person to slip from the knowledge that they do have? Just like these folks in Romans chapter 1. They threw it away. And there's so many people that throw God away and throw His knowledge away that want God. They want Him, or they like the thought of Him, right? They like the thought of being religious. They like the thought of having God in their lives. But when it comes time to put it into practice, they don't want it. So they only want God when they want Him. And all the other time, they want God to leave them alone. And if we know God, we understand that God doesn't work that way. We need God no matter how our life is. If our life is in the tank, right? If we have already hit rock bottom, we need God. But if we're at the top of the hill, guess what we need to do to stay at the top of the hill? We need God. But so many people just want God when they want God. And then want God to leave them alone at any other time. And it simply does not work that way. Parents and children can sometimes be like that. A child needs their parent. But how many children have we seen that don't want anything to do with their parents until they need them? Right? You just stand over there and you just wait for me. And when I'm ready, I'll come see you, and I'll come ask for money, and I'll come ask for help. You just stay over there ready for me. That's what a lot of people do with God. You just stay over there and you stay ready for me. I'm not going to read about you now. But when I need you, I'll come to you and I'll expect you to do what I want you to do. It just simply doesn't work that way. In Colossians, the first chapter in verse 18, we find the place that Jesus should be in our lives and that God should be in our lives. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Do we see folks today slipping from a knowledge of God? Where you look at people and say, okay, that person definitely does not have God first place in everything in their lives. I'm sure we've seen it, and we don't have to go very far to see it. But here's the question for us. Let's make it personal. What about within ourselves? Are we this way with God? Are we slipping from knowledge because we refuse to be taught? And I already know everything, so you can't teach me anything. We can all be taught, myself included. We can all learn more. It's why I like to go to gospel meetings, and I like to go on vacation every once in a while to go and sit at somebody else's feet. Because I can still learn so much from other people. It's why I enjoy when somebody else preaches and I'm actually able to be here to hear it. Because I can learn from you. And I hope that you can learn from me as well. And let's not have in our minds that we can't learn anything from anyone else. That we've already got it and we don't need anyone else's help. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's let God be God. Let's not try to take His place. Let's let Him be God, and He will help us from slipping down this path of knowledge. And again, we'll see a kind of a progression this morning. As well, as we often do. But once we start to slip from knowledge, once we know God, but we're not going to honor Him as God, then we're going to start to slip from thanksgiving. Again, in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21, or reading verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The King James Version says, neither were they thankful. Now, again, remember that they knew about God. They know about God. But they're not acting on that knowledge. And so once you get to the point where you're not acting on the knowledge that God is God, And we're ignoring Isaiah chapter 55, which we just read, verses 8 and 9. We're ignoring the fact that God is God, and we're ignoring the fact that His ways are higher, His ways are better. Then we get to this point where we feel like we don't need God, and we will become thankless. So what happens to us when we fail to give thanks to God the way that we should? Well, He tells us throughout those verses, again in verse 21, once that happens, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, or vain in their imaginations, as some translations will put it. The phrase actually means, and I don't know why it's not translated this way, maybe because it seems a little bit harsh, but the phrase literally means they became empty in their minds. You ever told somebody that? Maybe one of your kids? Boy, is there anything in that head of yours? Use it, right? Use that thing that's in your head. They became empty in their minds because they had slipped from thanking God. It is the only time that this word vain is used in the New or Old Testament. Now, other words for vain are used that are translated vain, but this one, vain in our imaginations or vain in their speculations, is used only once. Well, what does that mean? It could mean a couple of things. It could mean that this is just the only time that that happens, or it can mean that it is so bad, it is to the point where God doesn't use it very often because it's such a strong word. This is what happens to us if we fall into this trap of Romans chapter 1, where we're worshiping the creation rather than the Creator, and we forget about God. We don't want to be empty in our minds. What does God want from us? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Did you catch that? For all things are for your sake. So Paul is saying what we're doing, everything is for your sake. For what reason? So that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul is telling them they need to have their minds focused somewhere else, and it's not here. It's not the trials that you're going through. It's not the temptations that you're going through. That's momentary. That's light. And the glory that we're going to have in God is not even close to compare to it. But he says all of these things, the word is spreading and growing, so that knowledge is getting out there, and it's going to lead to people thanking God even more for what they have. Also, in chapter 9, in verse 11, 2 Corinthians 9, we'll start in verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Again, this idea of thanking God for everything that we have. And it will lead us to that knowledge that we need and allow that knowledge to stay with us and not slip. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, just to prove the point that God wants us to be thankful, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks to God. But so oftentimes, because we've let knowledge of Him slip, we forget that God's even there, and so we don't give Him the glory that He deserves. We don't give Him the thanks that He deserves. How often do we thank God for the things that He's given us? We need to remember where everything that we have comes from. Now, again, the question is, do we still see this today? Do we still see this lack of thanksgiving? Not even just to God, but in general, a lack of thanksgiving for anything. Where people are becoming more and more entitled, I deserve this. This is mine because I'm alive and I'm a human being and I deserve to have this. Instead of just thanking God for it, we become entitled and we say, I deserve to have that. So do we see this in today's society and do we act it out ourselves? I know that we can see other people, but do we see it in ourselves? I hope not. Finally, we see that these folks had slipped from truth. And again, it's a progression because all of a sudden, truth becomes a lie, and a lie becomes the truth. And again, I think we can see this in evolution, that all of a sudden this crazy theory that came about, 7,500 whatever years ago, is now all of a sudden the truth, and now I'm crazy because I don't believe it. And we've seen those things turn on their head. God warns us about that. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, and swap bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He said it's not good. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools, and they began to question their Creator, because they rejected the evidence that He gave them. Do we do that? Do we profess to be wise because we've learned a lot in school? We've learned a lot outside of school, outside of God, and outside of God's Word? Because when we do that, the natural following of the order is you're going to begin to question your Creator. Because there's a lot of things that scientists will disagree with when it comes to God's Word. There's a lot of things that will disagree. Because scientists will say, nobody can be born a virgin or from a virgin. These miracles that you read about in God's Word, they cannot have happened. They cannot have taken place. God could not have created the world in 6 days. That's what they'll tell us. Do we believe God? Do we question Him? Because that's the natural progression. There was a study done that, and again, I wish I would have brought the figures and to be able to show you on the graph. But the final result was there were folks that believe solely in evolution. There are folks that believe that God guided evolution. And there are folks that believe that God created the world in 6 days. The bottom number pretty much stays the same almost all the time throughout the course of life. There's a certain percentage of people that believe that and are not going to change that view. But the other two, where God guided evolution, that chart begins to drop at the exact same rate that people that believe fully in evolution rises. And again, it's this concept right here. Once you begin to question God, well, God said He created the world in 6 days, and that can't be reconciled with millions and billions of years. And so all of a sudden, those folks that are questioning that are now jumping ship to say, well, if God's wrong about this, then God's wrong about other things too. And that's what it led them to. Let's read those verses again, starting in verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, which is exactly what evolution is. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, men abandoned their natural function of a woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they do not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And so this slip in truth led them to worship idols, led them to worship creatures rather than the Creator. And so they said, we're going to worship this animal, we're going to worship this bird, we're going to worship this person, all things that were created by God, but they forget to worship God Himself. How do we get to that point? Well, we get to that point when we start saying, you know what, the Bible is an old book and it's irrelevant. Right? When the Bible becomes irrelevant, when the Bible becomes ancient history, it's an old book, it doesn't relate to us anymore, then we're going to start slipping from the truth, the truth, God's truth. And we may ask, what's the big deal? What does it matter? Well, again, if you look at James chapter 1, in verse 18, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. He brought us forth by the word of God. Have we been brought forth by the word of truth? In John chapter 1, starting in verse 14. John 1 and verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. So why don't we take the truth that Jesus brings us? Because the only one to have seen God has come to explain God to us. And yet oftentimes we look through scriptures and people will say, nope, that's wrong. That can't be right. But yet we're getting from Jesus, the one who's seen God, we're getting the explanations about God from Him. It is His truth. Do we see a departure from truth today? I believe very drastically we do. we see a great departure from truth because people refuse to believe that this is truth. There are some who will say, you know what, this is it's a guidebook. All right, we don't have to listen to it exactly. It's just got some good concepts in it that we need to try to follow. And there are certain things in there that we can't do without, that God has commanded of us. It wasn't just a guide. God commanded us to do certain things if we want to have a hope of eternal life. And so there is a departure from truth. But again, the question is more personal than that. Have we departed from the truth? Jesus often did this with his disciples. And in John chapter 6, verses 66 and 67, as Jesus has talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, they didn't quite understand exactly what he was talking about. And many of the disciples, many of the people that were following him went away at that time because it was difficult for them to understand. And so in verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, not all of the other disciples that were still there, but to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? And so he asks us today as well. You don't want to depart from the truth today also, do you? Don't you want to hold on to it? Don't you want to glorify God the way that he's meant to be glorified? Have a knowledge of God so that we can be thankful to God and have the truth that he left for us. I believe that Romans chapter 1 is a very important chapter. I believe that it is still relevant to us today. And I believe that we continue to depart from God, but maybe it's in just a different way, but we've still departed from God. Right? If we depart from someone, if we leave someone, does it matter if we go east, west, north, south? We've still departed. Everyone's leaving. When you invite people over to a gathering that you have at your house and people go home, do they all go to the same place? No. They have different homes that they go to, different cities that they go to, different places that they go to, but they've all departed in some way. And again, I think this is relevant, spiritually speaking, because God is standing where God is standing. God says, I am here, truth is here. Come to me for that truth. And when we depart, it doesn't much matter if we go north, west, east, south. It matters that we've departed from God because that's the only place where there is knowledge, where there is thanksgiving, and where there is truth the way that it's supposed to be. We have time and opportunity to get it right today. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, it's one of those commands that Jesus gives us. As he's getting ready to depart and ascend into heaven, he gives his disciples some instructions. Go, right? Go, therefore, and preach the gospel to all creation. Well, what does he tell them to do? Make disciples of all the nations. Well, how do we do that, Lord? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, what do we do with them then, Lord? Once they're a disciple, what do? Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you're here and you're not a child of God, Jesus has commanded you become a disciple through baptism into Jesus Christ. Have you done that? If not, there's time and opportunity to do that today. If you're here and you are a child of God, but have maybe slipped in some of those areas, maybe you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, but you haven't been walking the path that you're supposed to walk. Some of the other teachings that Jesus has left for us, maybe you've left by the wayside. I encourage you to come back today. If it's something you feel that publicly needs addressed, we're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you in any way that we can. We're here to help. That's what we're here for. And we can help you. If you're here and maybe there's not a sin that's in your life that you can pinpoint, maybe you're just struggling in general. Maybe some things that are going on in your life you need help with, you need prayers for. We're here to do that as well. If you're here this morning and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.